The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
New York snob coming to here shitting on our pizza.
Oh, jeez. I can't eat a taco without you fuckers telling me where you live.
Yeah, fucking cheesy beach towel every 30 feet. So, you know.
That is a thing. Like, when I tour, people always want to take me out for tacos and burritos. Like, I live in L.A.
I don't know, man. Them Chicago burritos, baby.
I have Crohn's. And people are just like, every town, whatever food they have that is a namesake, like, you got to have the cardiac arrest thing.
Yeah, and it's never good.
And I'm
it's
like,
never
I can't
healthy.
Just eat like a dare everywhere I go. And they're like, and they get
that's
they
what happened to me.
They get, yeah, but you can take it all. You can, like, dude, when we filmed a pilot about eating, like it was a food show thing.
Yeah,
we were in the hotel and I woke up. Dave's gone. He comes back and he's like, woke up early, went to where we're filming, Homegrown. You've been to Homegrown?
Yeah, Homegrown.
In Atlanta. Had
paid for a meal for breakfast at the same place that we were getting free lunch at.
Chicken biscuit. And then a couple hours later, come back and we had a smorgasbord.
Homegrown is good.
Homegrown is delicious.
Homegrown's good.
But he was about to get it. All he had to do was wait like a couple hours.
But he was getting
hours.
A different meal. He was,
I wanted it
different,
now.
He was getting a different menu
actually,
item.
Actually, he got some of the same again.
You okay. know what that was, in all honesty? That was, I was so hungover. Because that was, the night before was our last ever Beards of Comedy show.
Damn.
At the Laughing Skull. And we got silly after the show. Mm-hmm. And then we had, the next morning, we had to film a thing all day. And I was so hungover. And
I forgot about
that. I'm going to go get a damn comfy chicken biscuit and soak that shit up.
Yeah.
And it helped.
That shit put you down.
Is that a sandwich? Is it chicken biscuit? That's a sandwich? Or is it chicken and a biscuit? Yeah,
it's biscuit. Open-faced chicken biscuit. Fried chicken tenders. Homemade biscuit.
I think I've had it. I just can't remember.
Doused in sausage gravy.
Sausage gravy.
Damn, that chicken.
And they put a little orange
sandwich.
Peel as a joke.
Yeah, yeah, that was cool.
That's for a little sweetheart peel. Move.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's for color.
That is some good shit.
Sorry for the. You don't realize it, but I paused it because I had to take a shit and I clogged my own toilet. Now we're back.
Uh-huh.
But you have no idea from what we were talking about, but a whole world happened. This is what I think this is what they talk about when there's like a rift in space time.
When you clog your toilet. Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy's trying to lead it back into a topic that's pertinent to the podcast.
No, I want to discuss this. Right. I'm always curious. Is it the poo or the toilet paper?
You're always curious.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always curious what causes a clogged toilet.
Well, there's a
balance. I'm not just
there.
In there throwing a bunch of toilet paper in there. I took a huge shit.
No, but I'm saying.
I got a squatty potty. I wiped three times. That's all I need to do. Squatty potty. Clean break.
It's got to be mostly poo. I wouldn't admit it to myself if I took a normal poo and then put enough toilet paper in there to clog it up. I feel like a damn idiot.
So you don't
want to
talk about the idea of time can be folded on itself.
Well, this goes into turds.
We'll do that after the shit.
All right.
Yeah,
I took a huge shit,
uh-huh.
And I wiped, and I'm conservative with my wiping.
Why?
It dissipates anyway.
If there's one place you could kind of splurge, it's the wiping.
But not when
what
it's
are you doing?
Clogged.
Just dabbing it for a half hour?
I'm just making sure that thing's clean as
a
whistle.
I wipe until.
Are you a bidet person?
Not yet.
Gordon is very.
I'm
honest.
Gonna be.
I stayed.
There. He got a bidet.
Oh, he's had one, and I'm staying with him.
You know why? Because he went to Asia, and they got him in Asia.
Exactly. He's Japan.
And, yeah, they're the best. I almost missed a flight in Japan because there was bidets in the airport.
Yeah, he got his dad into it, and as he put it,
into
dad,
it like it's a hobby.
His dad got it set to fracking.
Really into bidets right now.
Yeah, honestly, if you use like it's one of those things like, oh, what a basic thing to change your life.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just don't know how to hook it up to the plumbing in my bathroom. You don't have to get a whole toilet; you get a seat. Yeah. I want that, and I realize like I bought a lot of dumb shit.
Uh-huh.
In front of this new computer
because
I punched the other one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But things that I still like have hesitation, I don't know why. First, bidet. Mm-hmm. Second, one of them fancy telescopes.
I have a telescope.
Yeah?
Andy's into telescopes.
I can't recommend one.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I have loved having a telescope.
Is it the nice ones where you got to look into the top of it instead of straight up the ass?
Yeah, I can show you. It's,
you got any weed?
Yeah.
All right. I have...
Yeah, there's a bunch on the counter over there.
Well, I have one.
It's still the weed from your trimming session 4 years ago.
Oh, that one.
I have it's a Zimmel. It was $150.
Yeah?
And it's fucking what? Heavy duty.
Just dealing with the moon. What are you seeing when you look at the moon?
Let me show you. Here's my latest moon.
This is a photo you took.
This is what I took through the eyepiece of my telescope.
No kidding.
So you just literally stick the camera up
it's
into
tough.
The eyepiece?
you got to hover it like... It's hard to snap it sometimes to get it, but there is like an attachment you can buy. But
that is crisp detail.
Yeah, and that's New York City.
That's light pollution and everything.
That's in the morning, I think. I've been seeing Jupiter. Right now, you can see in the mornings, you can see Jupiter and Saturn. And in my telescope, which is like only $150, it's good enough to where I can see, if you buy different lenses, you could easily see it. But I could see Jupiter, the colors and everything.
You can see you can see the storm and you can see the moons.
Yeah, you can see the moons. I can't see the storm, but it's possible that my telescope could if I got the right eyepiece or whatever. But I can see rings on Saturn.
I'm going on Amazon right now.
Dude, that's what I hate. Amazon, I bought it. It was a Zimmel Portable, it was called. And it's not exactly, that makes it sound like it's, small.
Yeah.
It's not, but it is portable, totally.
Huh.
It's,
do you have binoculars for creeping?
No.
I do.
I used to have binoculars.
I don't know. Some about them, they never...
Why wouldn't you? Well, yeah. In a big city? Oh, I'm looking in your windows.
Look at people.
Oh, yeah. If I lived in a... I'd live in a a two-story house.
Oh, okay. So you can't just...
I'm across from a school in the projects. So it's not really anything you want to peek in on.
Yeah, binoculars across from a school.
Yeah.
No Zimmel. How do you spell Zimmel?
Zimmel. L, maybe?
I'm not finding Zimmels on...
Oh, boy. Do I just... misremember.
These are nicer looking telescopes, all for $100, and they look good
on Amazon.
These guys, like something like this, you can. It's got a phone holder to take the pictures.
Oh, that's nice. Search portable. Mine kind of looks like that, but
just portable telescope.
Yep, it was the most popular one on Amazon,
I don't know what year you
worked out.
G Skyer telescope. That's what this one is. I don't know. I am down with this.
Dude, it's so cool to even in New York, it does cut through some of that light pollution. Like, I can look at an area in the sky where you don't really see shit, and I look through it through the telescope, and I see stars. And
when you're doing that, where's your mind at? Just, that's more of like a, not spiritual, but like are you getting into it? Spacing out.
Yeah.
Sorry for the
terminology. There's an app called Sky Guide.
I got that one.
I just use that as a guide.
Tells you what constellations you're looking at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, technology is...
Oh, man.
Like, I'm so sure cool. There's many examples of why technology is amazing, but for a pedestrian like me...
Infrared cam. I mean, the fact that it was $4 to, without...
Oh, that app.
Commercials
or whatever. Yeah, you just hold up to the sky and finally know what all the constellations are.
I mean, and it tells you where I can track the International Space Station and know when it's going over me.
That's always a thing, I think, when
it
I'm camping. I'm like,
mind.
That's a UFO. Like, no.
This is Sky Guide, and you put it on... So everywhere you look right now, Dave, you can look through the Earth and...
Wow.
There's some dope shit.
It does
shit.
Tell us about the constellation, which I wish I could take that off because I just don't care.
Could you? Now, because now microscopes are coming up.
Ooh. I might get into microscopes.
Just as a weird experiment. What if you used your telescope to look through your microscope?
I think you might have to do microscope and telescope. Maybe. No, but then you just see the glass particles and shit.
Brent Weinbach had a web series recently where they just put shit under a microscope, literally.
Of course he did.
Literal shit or anything?
Not shit.
Good. Well,
literally put things under a microscope. Like,
the Orion Starblast 4.5 astro reflector.
That sounds like a scam.
Starblast.
That looks like mine.
This is on a stand.
That sounds like they're trying to bro up the telescope.
Yeah. Hey,
what's up, pussy?
Listen, we got
it. It's a ball. Get a Starblast 500 blasted.
Listen, people at Tascam got a 23-year-old internet marketer in here.
You show young kids like, blasted.
Yeah.
Did you ever do
the Skyfuck 5000?
Serve the night sky like a fucking pimp.
Did you ever do anything about
moon
that,
cunts?
With that premise about comedy clubs, open mic nights? You think you're funny? They're all so aggressive.
Yeah, that was spawned from, I mean, it's like every cheesy club, but we were particularly somewhere. I think it was a Comedy Zone in South Carolina.
Oh, I'm sure it was North a Comedy Carolina. Zone.
But yeah, they suck.
Oh,
but,
like the amateur MMA challenge. Oh, so yeah. Street fight.
Think
well,
you're
get
funny?
Get in the octagon.
Prove it.
And I did have a. I think I've done it at like festivals and shit where there's like a lot of comics there. But it's really, it's like just other premises of like a poetry open mic. Think you're profound? Go fuck yourself.
Think you're profound? Just cracks his knuckles and hops on stage.
Bring it, queer. You know, it's just like, it's so masculine. It's like, it's already
Bring it, queer. That's a drag queen night.
It's already so nerve-wracking to like, you know, if I think I like stand-up, maybe I'll try it. And my friends, maybe. Yeah. But then it's like, all right, you're going to fucking battle.
Yeah.
We will crush you.
That's why I say, welcome to the Thunderdome. Yeah. Two comedian enter, one comedian with friends leaves.
Tell us what's going on with this dude here.
Oh yeah,
let's not use names for the.
Well, I won't
less,
use names,
fortunate.
But I might have a potential new social media. What did he call himself? Basically a team member because I'm as I Ubered over here to record with you guys, I did not expect to meet someone that was going to further my career. But that seems to happen in L.A.
Welcome
a good
to L.A.
bit.
Some people are just doing Uber to make ends meet while their profession blows up.
Yeah. While they network. Listen, man. And sometime right, maybe a mile away from here, he let me know. He gave me his card, told me that I need a team. You know, I can't
What
just...
were his hyphenates?
What's that?
Is he a multi-hyphenate?
Oh, yeah. He was... I'm trying to remember.
Actor, director,
social
producer.
Media analyst, strategist, / record label, /
record label is not a title.
Oh, so
I want that to be his
he
words.
He is a record label, I believe, as I understand it. He's an LLC.
Producer, writer, actor, Douglas Fir.
It did amaze me that he went back and forth between
Douglas Fir.
Telling me what I need to do with my career and also... asking me about where I was coming. He's like, hold on, this street, okay, it must be down this way. Also, man, you got to monetize that YouTube channel.
As a manager, we help you with direction. Also, can you help me with directions to where we're going?
Yeah,
right
I fucked up because I thought, you know, he's just making conversation and
no,
he goes,
never.
Do you have some kind of manager? I go, nah, I don't really deal with that. I don't have a manager. That was a mistake.
He offered to manage you?
Well...
Because the
way.
Client
he
that
he had a manager
the one
firm.
Client that's on his business card, their Twitter account is suspended,
and maybe they're too risque. That's why I like the guy. Maybe
yeah,
he's maybe taking they're chances. Just,
they're that punk rock. It's like they're like Gigi Allen of social media strategies.
He's like the Nick DiPaolo of social.
Oh my god!
Oh, did you
any,
see what's
any,
going
any
on
opinions?
With that?
I watched some of that. I watched
but
some
did,
of.
Did
that.
You see the his the
yeah
the cover art?
Well, should have done the research on that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, man. Did you hear about that?
Oh, it's almost like you should have like
Black Lives Matter.
It's almost like you should have learned about something before just reacting to it.
But also, it's like, you know, what is the angle there of like, fuck you? Shit. There's like a woman crying.
He's not gonna take it anymore.
I get even if you're having the angle of like this Me Too shit, it's gonna you know make real men be scared to leave the house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, I think that's the goal. But
what was his one like the one I didn't watch with the one clip. But you know what? I can also Carl Hess made the best observation. He's like, I really think Nick DiPaolo really missed the mark by not calling this Manette.
Yeah,
I was like, Carl Hess, you get me sometimes. But I've always thought he's a good comic.
He
like, knows how to be funny.
Yeah, no, there's scientists, and some scientists cure diseases, and other ones make nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
you know,
I've done shows with him, and. He liked my set. That's why it's taken a lot for me to admit.
Oh, boy.
I really like it. but just that. But it's so forced. It's like he's
well, the
chosen
one guy
a
on
side.
The, yeah, the one guy on the cover was
a
Black Lives Matter guy that got shot.
That got shot. And then, but aside from that controversy, I watched some of the special. And he, for no reason, makes things about. It should have been a bit. I don't remember what the bit was, but it was like just something about him getting. Disrespected in some way, but he made it about. He literally says in the setup the line, it's all about. There's no respect for the white European male."
That was the title for the clip that he was. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
And it's not even about fucking. It's so weird.
White men of European descent are under attack in this country. I'm like, except for being all the politicians and heads of business in the state.
In the special, he does a bit. I remember the joke not even being like some sort of liberal button pushing joke. It was just a joke where some people groaned or something, and he just assumed they were like libtards or whatever, and just immediately made this declaration of, you fucking pussies on the left. That's, and he goes, yeah, I'm on the right. That's what he says. On the right.
We know.
And what?
Well,
no, we know you're on the right. Yeah.
But it's weird to, he got really Dennis Miller-y.
Yeah.
Where it's not just about, not hey, this is anybody. How I think, and if you think it's fucking not PC, then oh well. It's way past that to where it's like, I've taken this side.
Yeah.
And he's like saying, I don't like some of you that are here. It's real weird to watch a special where some of the crowd.
Yeah. Well, it's like in this day and age, everything has to be so hard in the paint in one direction.
And I feel like nobody's social watching media is the reason for that.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody's sitting
hyperbole.
There. Yeah. Nobody's taken like nuance or to watch. So, like the I just.
Well, the five emotions you're allowed to feel are like, cry, heart, you know what I mean?
Heart
like
eyes, smiley heart eyes. What smiley heart eyes is that one?
We lose some nuance between, you know, the wow and heart emoji.
Well, I forget who was like the somebody, like they flip-flop. They flip-flop on issues.
Flip-flop.
Like the
John
idea,
Kerry, I think.
Was that what,
flip-flop?
Like the idea that if you learn more about something, you would allow yourself to change
to
your
grow
opinion.
To grow is to grow.
Like that's an insult.
Pick some principles and stick to it.
Yeah.
Never learn. Never grow.
I will say this. Nick DiPaolo has the funniest line in any sitcom
I know what you're
I've
talking
ever
He's
heard.
He's funny. That's
funniest line I've ever heard in a sitcom. It was the old Lucky Louie show that was on HBO. The short-lived, low-budget Lucky Louie. DiPaolo plays the apartment building's maintenance man.
Yeah.
And he just opens Louie's door and he goes, hey, Louie, just so you know, you might have some shit in your toilet that's not yours. Don't flush it. We're trying to track it.
I remember that.
Some shit in your toilet that's not yours.
Wow, what a combo that is, him and Louie.
Yeah.
Today. I wouldn't imagine.
Who would have, yeah.
Louie was on top of the world, comedy-wise, there. Yeah, that's just crazy how far it is.
Well, everything needs to be polarized. You can't be like, hey, I've been trying to do more jokes.
Trap people and jack off at them. I know that.
yeah, I mean... Well, he did for a while.
Yeah.
Well, he did.
What was that? What was every couple? Well, he did ask.
He did ask.
Yeah.
He
what kind asked. Of weird, what is with you if that's your, you know, I don't like seeing, I love Louis' comedy. I really liked it a lot and not all, but I liked a lot of it. And I can't imagine being so like not willing to let that go that I would be like, well, let's look into this.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
He's also a big looming dude.
Yeah.
I think the DiPaolo thing is like, oh, well, your brand of comedy isn't welcome.
He's trying
anymore.
To just go ahead and, you know, it is stupid in one way, but it's not stupid marketing wise. I mean, we all help market it by saying, it's just like when people assume that people will see the terrible thing Trump is and be like, see, he's bad. It's like there's a lot of people in the country that are like, I love that.
There's an audience for it.
I read a whole article about Steve Harvey that we'll just say somebody I know works
for. Oh, I hope
this
doesn't ruin Steve Harvey. I give Steve Harvey a pass.
I'll close your ears if you don't want Steve Harvey ruined. But just about like how like there's people that are smart and know things, and there's people that pretend to know things well enough that people just buy into it.
The most confident man.
Trump. Steve Harvey's whole like self-help shit, and the person I know that works on the show is like he just talks. So like every show's an hour, he'll talk for 3 hours to get the audience. And like everybody that works for him was like, shut the fuck up. Jeez. The audience doesn't care. The guest though, but it's somebody like that's so like, and let me tell you another thing. It's about believe in God and get up early. Like it was like his whole article addressed like his whole thing is like reason you're poor is because you're sleeping. Got to get up early and work. Like the idea that the only people that are rich. They're rich because they work hard, not because they inherited wealth
and
or anything.
As a guy that, you know, made it from humble beginnings, that's all of a sudden becomes everyone can do.
Yeah.
But also he, like Rob Hayes would tell me, he went to a taping of Family Feud in Atlanta, and I had to ask about it because I was in it. Check it out. No warm-up guy. Steve is the warm-up guy. He does a Q&A while they're setting up production and all that. They film four eps like in a stretch. Ugh. And he is in between giving advice to people and life coaching. He is the guy for the whole thing.
Wow.
And it's I'm always amazed when people are like I'm when people are the least to me, he's so far out there that I can only laugh and appreciate Steve Harvey because like whoever took him serious. My friend was like, I don't know, man, I heard him say this ridiculous shit like you shouldn't date atheists or something. And I was like,
Yeah,
well, it's Steve Harvey. What did you think? And it was someone that tried to get
the
him.
Bible and work hard.
Well, they said,
work hard in the Bible.
Steve, did you say that you shouldn't date atheists? That's your dating advice? And they thought it was like a gotcha question. But people like Trump and Steve Harvey, there is no gotcha.
Yeah.
Because they don't give a fuck. And he's like, oh, yeah, because they have no moral compass.
Yeah.
I appreciate that in a way.
Atheists have no moral compass.
He's like, yeah, you can't date them. They got no moral compass.
Oh, this article.
It's like, what'd you think Steve Harvey thought?
This article was on something called The Root, I think is what it was. I think it's like an online magazine for black folk. But this guy, whoever wrote this article, took him to fucking task.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, fuck this guy. You're a fucking idiot. All his, like, you espouse, like, good values and everything on people. And then it's the, like, how many wives have you had? Like, it's the same thing. Like, Trump trying to stand for anything. I do beat your kids jokes because I believe you should beat your kids.
I beat other people's kids, but.
That's my joke. Yeah. I'm not going to have kids because I know I'll beat kids.
Oh.
People are like, oh, I'm like, that's why I know. I'm like, I want to hit your kids.
I had a different. Mine was wordplay, I guess, because it was, if you can't beat them, join them. But how am I supposed to join other people's children? That sounds worse.
Yeah.
I still feel that way.
See, you do smarter comedy.
Kyle, did you hear about over in Bougie Bel Air? They found over 1,000 guns in a house. You heard about that the other day?
Is this Steve Harvey's house?
No. 57-year-old man identified in court records as the longtime companion of Los Angeles real estate mogul Cynthia Beck. He's behind bars for several hours overnight after police seized more than 1,000 guns, including some that authorities allege were fully automatic from his Bel Air home.
Wait, they're really dragging down real estate mogul Beck here. Like, damn, it's like, this is her boyfriend.
Yeah, why throw her into the mix?
I feel like...
ATF agents, the other day, 4 a.m. on Wednesday, they raided this place. Over 1,000...
Maybe that's a great sign when the rich have to stock up on firearms.
Yeah.
They feel threatened.
I don't know.
Is that how he got his money? Or
I don't know. Over 1,000... And they had pictures. There's pictures of it where, like, it looks like a goddamn... firearms flea market.
Like in the Matrix?
They pull them all out and put them on the driveway and spread them out, and it's just insane.
And the ATF loves to make a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they I love that list.
Where's the tobacco? That's my one.
There's a whole division of tobacco guys that don't do shit.
Alcohol?
Can you believe how many Newport Lights this guy was hiding in his garage?
Man.
Shut the fuck up, tobacco. We got a gun bust.
I got demoted to the tobacco section.
I'm in alcohol now. It's really dead since Prohibition ended.
What is this, skull? All right, up against the wall.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Yeah, here's the picture. Look at this shit. Looks like a yard sale.
Oh,
damn.
That's piles.
It looks like a Georgia yard sale.
Piles and piles of long guns, not just handguns.
Yeah, rifles and shit.
Rifles and shotguns and automatic weapons and over here in bougie ass Bel Air.
I wonder if that was like
go to the police.
We need to arm the rich. Mm. We need the rich are going to be under attack. Maybe that's the result of a Nick DiPaolo special. Rich white men are victims.
Why don't these guys get 1,000 guns?
What a weird, what a weird angle to play that white European males are.
I don't think it's weird. You know what? Because he's gonna get people like finally a comedian.
That's right.
He's gonna get people that aren't comedy fans, but are those people?
Yeah.
That's the Owen Benjamin thing. Owen Benjamin's the fucking bonkers, not funny dude. But he's getting people like free speech, patriot.
And it
are you laughing at the videos? But patriot, free speech.
It's so weird. They're not. That's what's creepy is that DiPaolo is funny first, or was funny first, and it's like creepy when someone I watch that set and it just starts out pretty lighthearted, and it's like, ha-ha, that's funny. He's very good at saying the funniest word and stuff, but then when you just like inject, it seems like someone's smarter than that to be like, I have to if I want to. Have a niche in this industry, let me pick the people that aren't watching comedy.
I was about to say,
now.
Is it a conscious effort to go after a niche?
That's why it feels so intentional.
Because we've
got
we've got a mutual friend, I won't name him, who has veered in that direction, who used to be a brilliant comic, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dude.
Is that a conscious, like, well, I'm really going to play this angle, or he's just...
No, I think he's lost a little bit of his mind.
Amplify what you see...
I talked to another mutual friend, Nate Fritzen, who gave it another shot more than me, had lunch with him and stuff, talked to him about these right leanings and all this stuff. And this is a funny person that started out by saying, well, I don't get what the big deal is. I wake up, I go on Twitter, I wish the president good morning, and all these liberals come at me. And Nate's like, stop there. You wish the president good morning? I love Obama. I've never considered once. Wishing him a good morning.
Good or bad, if you tweet at the president, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a weirdo.
That's it. Like, if you I'm changing, look at what I said to him. Shut up. Fucking scream it. Scream at your toilet.
Yeah.
I think.
Yell into the back of the
But
fridge.
Also, I think you get conditioned over years of, like, being a comedian of, like, oh, people listen to me. Now I'm going to.
He's had a crowd for a while. You know, he's had a
And also, if you had to be that person and still go work in an office, you'd either keep your shit quiet and vote accordingly.
Yeah.
You know, but like now I've gotta get people to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
I gotta be. I mean, it's out loud. Like,
there's comics all the way on the left that are just as insufferable.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's.
But it's
90% more of them.
It's a harmless insufferable too, though, in a lot of ways, I think.
But I mean, it's more offensive to it's comedy. It's more offensive, like Clapter comedy kind of shit.
The agreeing comedy.
I would say that. Yeah. Oh, was it funny? No, but we understood.
But I have the same point.
Yeah. But
people love reading what they already believe. People love, you know.
But also that comedy started because. Comedy was all straight white dudes in blaze. Oh, my fucking wife's a drag. Can you believe this? Anyway, and so alternative comedy started and mutated into non-funny pontification. Yeah. And now DiPaolo's—it's just a pendulum swing. It's going to swing the other. Now there's going to be DiPaolo's going to. I'm saying like these are definitive statements. They're not. But like now you're going to get more people that are like, I'm on the right too, and they're going to get an audience. Half of the country voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And they are not represented comedically.
And they may because
it's not funny.
They may stretch what they like comedically to go, I don't like gross stuff, but Nick DiPaolo votes the same way.
Oh, yeah, this guy represents me. Yeah, like comic book fans that aren't comedy fans, but they're Patton Oswalt fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, we found a guy that represents us in this art form.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like it seems like a deliberate targeting of that.
Oh, yeah. No, dumb move for him. What are you gonna do? Just sit around working clubs, kind of dancing around it, or go big and be like, at least the people
fill
are coming, know what they're getting into.
With hateful people, and
have
a good time. Even the type of jokes, it's
can't believe I can't call sluts bitches anymore or whatever. Yeah. Were any of the jokes good when you watched it?
A few that were. That's what's disappointing.
Or recognized them as like, I don't agree with it, but. That is a well-crafted joke.
That's what's weird is, I guess, in some ways, like, I saw where it was going, but at that point, it's just a funny story that he then politicizes.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of lose. I'm not even like, that's not funny. I'm just like, that's not even related to what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
It seems very wedged. And I don't know. I felt like people were so annoying with their Nanette theories, but mm-hmm. the... to me, watching the net, I was like, I didn't get to talk to anybody about what I found sort of offensive as a person who has used jokes literally to get over hard things. For someone to say, you know, joke writing can only do so much, or jokes can only do so much, you should have to be an amazing joke writer. And I didn't see that in that special. But then because of how everything is, you can't bring up an opinion that's like not extreme. Mm-hmm. It's got to be one. And I guess DiPaolo is the man at.
Carl Hess nailing it. Well, I mean, that's what there's like when I don't know how you feel like when you look out at a crowd, and you're like, oh, like when you look at a group of people, like, oh, I don't want these people. Like when we're talking about YouTube comedy, I don't want them to like.
I'm amazed sometimes when people I know would not enjoy hanging out with me. I somehow relate. They relate to me on stage and go, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I go, man, that's.
Oh, you.
I don't know
it?
If I feel good or bad about that.
But if you ever had sets or done a joke where you're like, that's lazy, and people are on board with you, like, I respect you less. I mean, I get that I have to try this out, but I think less of you as an audience, and I'd wish you'd buck up against. Like, I'd rather challenge an audience. Like, as bad, the people came to see me, and it's like, yeah, but I'm not just all the way to. I'm not all the way to the left.
This is probably a thing of your following versus where I've been.
Yeah, I got computer smashing money. I get it.
Well, I mean, you got enough people that would you would. I don't know. I don't. I'm just glad they're there.
Yeah, but I mean, but you do well in New York.
I guess. And no one does well in New York. You just survive.
Well, I mean, I know that. That's why I never moved there. I'm like, I would die if I moved there. I would die. I did, like, especially in my 20s, and I visit. I'm like, this is the best place in the world. And when it's time to move, I'm like, that place will kill me. Yeah, nobody tells you to leave a bar.
To be honest, I'm getting to that point where I don't need to be in New York money-wise or career. Mm-hmm. The industry was aware of my presence 8 years ago there and still not too concerned.
So and that's why you're in LA right now for a TV spot.
Well, yeah, that's the most a jab, as I call it, a jab inside. But like, I don't need to be anywhere. So I am starting to think about happiness wise. Where do I need to be? Yeah. That I can still work my shit out and do comedy, but not just go, a stubborn New York attitude where they have passed the precipice of you should move if you want to be happy, but they just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be happy, and if it means I'm just a mediocre comedian, that's fine.
Yeah, you're pretty mediocre, Kyle.
Listen, my shit's tapered off. I got no edge.
I liked your old stuff better.
I get it. All right.
Man.
I'm a centrist. No, that's like I do comedy, but like I'm like, oh, I'm a centrist, but that's not interesting. Oh, I just like to see both sides of the argument and then make a decision based on the information. Fuck you. That's the only thing you could do to unify both sides is be in the middle and piss off both of them. Like, well, we both hate this fucking piss ant.
And then when that takes off, I'm looking at the strategy of bashing the middle. Like, just be like, ain't nothing in the middle but yellow lines and roadkill.
Fuck you for looking at individual issues for what they're salt.
Yeah, well, dead middle's also stupid.
Oh, man.
That's what South Park kind of went that road where I'm like, okay, not both sides are equally crazy every time. But that became their whole thing is, hey, both, it seems like a very fence riding, agnostic argument to be like,
but,
hey, both sides are fucked up.
But
they
don't see the language of like the left becoming like ridiculous, soundbitey, kind of like less thought out, more like Donald Trumpish, like. If you want like more insulting
like
and not, it's all like
soundbite,
very momentary and not thought out and intellectual.
Just for someone to feel good and read it, go
yeah,
I think that too.
I can't forget who had was it Kate? Oh, I think Kate Willett had the joke. It might not have been her. Somebody had a joke about the left went from being or just something like presidential candidates. Like we had one like. Went from being a president you'd want to have a beer with to being a guy I don't want to leave my drink around.
I'm good on beer.
Speaking of
beer. That's someone in New York, I know.
I don't know if it was Kate or if it was Jenna Friedman or
Kate
something.
Kate is doing Colbert, or taping Colbert tonight.
Oh, really? Man, very Kate's funny. She opened for me in San Francisco, and I was like,
did she do that skateboard? She has a joke where she goes, I've been trying to date less immature guys. I rented a place on top of a hill, so it's hard to skateboard up. That kills me.
Oh, she's got Yeah, she opened for me in San Francisco, and I was like, this isn't going to be a good show.
I like anyone
me.
That's super low-key and just smashes.
Yeah. Well, oh,
with
like,
very
oh,
little effort.
Oh, writing. Yeah. Oh, you wrote, like...
Yeah.
Oh, the writing part. That's,
you're a rotor.
Now that comedy's popular and people are like, ah, my personality will get me. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm charming. Get fucked. Don't you want to just hear about me because I'm me? Not in the least.
Andy, what you been eating lately in New York? Any good stuff I should know about?
Well, I take I've been going to the real Chinatown more now. Mm. I'm Flushing, Queens.
Oh, there's a real Chinatown?
Well, the ever-expansive Chinatown that's like way more...
not the one that's in Manhattan?
Yeah.
The lower side?
Not the...
Where we went and had a dumpling crawl?
Yes. And also had...
That sounds like either a thing you did or something you witnessed at a restaurant. Because I ate somewhere in Chinatown. I'm like, this place is all sticky.
Yeah,
one of the things grew legs, crawled up the table.
That's where like soup dumplings are. But I put the soup dumplings out in Flushing. That's the real shit.
Yeah,
they got a whole damn bowl of soup in that dumpling. I don't know how, but
like eating a blister.
I didn't know how. Yeah. Mm. All right, I'm gonna enjoy that
too much. I'm not trying to ruin stuff.
Yeah,
for you.
Just that that brothy pus.
That was too far.
You still eating the halal carts?
Dude, yes. I love halal.
That's some good shit.
It's just, I have a guy that, just a go-to halal guy that just, he's just so into it. And he's just like, hey, man, you want some onions in there, my friend? And we're like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Like, caramelize them up real good.
Is it halal's, $6. What, Muslim safe?
It's like Afghani.
But like, it's really, really religiously.
Generally Muslim.
Acceptable. Like, but no, it means like it's a specific religious
like
thing.
Their version of kosher.
Yeah, yeah, right?
I believe it is.
Isn't that what it means?
It's like Afghani. Kosher.
Okay.
And it was like shawarma, like what shawarma is out here.
Mm. Yeah.
But they have all
shaved like the cones of meat, the twirling cones.
Yeah,
of
they
meat.
Got the, you know, beehive of goat and all that. But also like chicken over rice, good lamb over rice, like with white
anything
and hot sauce.
Anything and rice, man. I like anything with rice and a sauce.
What do you call that?
iPhone and rice.
Compound that, protein.
Who, yeah. Somebody. I hate doing jokes without being able to give credit, but it's super racist. And then you're like, I hate that I laugh at this. Somebody's like, I dropped my phone in water, and you're supposed to put it in a bowl of rice right afterwards because that means a bunch of Asian people run to it and try and fix it. It attracts a bunch of Asian people over there, and then they'll fix your phone.
You're right. Asian people are always running
like,
to rice. There was that. You just
fuck
reminded
me for laughing at that. But
you just reminded
me.
I feel I should put this on record here because he doesn't do comedy anymore. But Tanner Inman from Atlanta, one of the funniest jokes about rice, where he goes, I went to a Japanese wedding recently. They don't throw rice at Japanese weddings. No. They throw baked potatoes. Or, you know, I did. It's like you see the logic of where he's going. And it just fucking take a turn.
Maybe you can answer this. I always thought this was Dave's joke. And now it just stuck with me as one of the funniest jokes about like people were mad at Chick-fil-A because of the gay thing. And it's like people are just mad at him because it's good. And they're mad because they can't eat it because it's good. And then the punch is like, Captain D's could deny the Holocaust. Nobody give a shit.
I never knew that one.
I don't know. I swear I thought it was you, and then I told you, and you're like, I don't know who it is.
But that
it was,
line is worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Captain D's can deny the Holocaust. Nobody give a shit.
Captain D's. What a special. I'm kind of have a weird
fast
like,
food fish
fascination
no
with those, like, how who set this up as a business model, saw that Long John Silver's was already there. It was like, no, we're going to do this better.
No, you highfalutin types can have your LJS.
We got hash browns. Oh, no, sorry. Hush puppies.
Hush puppies.
Looking back, do you ever like look back and realize like, oh, that was some super white trash shit. We would go to Long John Silver's, and the big treat was, can you please give us the crumbs from the hush puppy tray?
Oh, yes. That's a big thing.
Well, and the
I'm so happy to not be
the
alone.
Crackling crumbs from the fish, too.
Yeah, the
little battered crumbs.
Yeah,
batter,
can you please?
I get an extra chicken plank.
Yeah. Chicken planks. Yeah.
Called chicken planks.
Yeah.
God, dude, that batter was good.
That batter
like what
is
are we
what
why,
they need
why
to sell.
Are we shitting on Long John Silver's? It was fun it's they had so, a little dock you had up. To walk on. You had a little dock to walk
you
into.
You could ring a bell.
Did you get a hat?
Yeah.
Hey, Burger King getting crowns? You get a pirate hat over here. Fuck a crown. I want a pirate hat.
Fuck a crown.
I missed the
I'll wear the pirate hat into Burger King and be like, fuck your castle.
Give me your castle.
We're in here. We're taking it.
I missed the charm of, as a family, going to a fast food restaurant and dining in.
It's small towns. That's still...
We did that when I was a kid. Like, we would drive. Where I lived when I was a kid, there wasn't much of anything going on. So we'd have to drive 15 miles to the next town if you wanted to get a meal. We'd go oftentimes once a month.
You go 15 miles to get filet fish?
Captain D's.
It's like going to fucking Red Lobster or some shit.
Red Lobster's a sit-down
restaurant. We'd go sit down at Captain D's. We'd go sit down at Arby's. We'd go sit down at Burger King.
The rural Red Lobster. Mm. It's like when I did a gig in Williamsburg, Virginia, or whatever, the old town, whatever. And there was just... as far as who lives there, there's no one. And I went to Wendy's just because it was open, and it was fucking family night at Wendy's. This is their dinner. This is where the only
They used to have a salad bar in Wendy's. We talked about that.
The Mega Bar.
Yeah, I got turned off from that when I saw some toddler that couldn't see over the counter hook shot his hand into the pudding. I was like, well, I'm never getting this fucking salad bar again.
Oh, kid hands in the pudding.
Just feeling, doing the creep around into each bin. Like, what is that, beets? What is that, sliced mushrooms? Kaploop chocolate pudding?
Oh.
And just elephant trunked it into his fucking mouth.
That's fucking scarring.
That is crazy that Wendy's had a buffet. They had just salad. They called it the Mega Bar. They had like pasta. They had a little taco station.
Yeah.
When you're in Florida and shit, and wherever there's old people, they still have those KFC buffets.
Yeah.
Oh, KFC got a buffet?
KFC buffet was... when I was a kid, I was like, oh, shit, I can just house all these mashed potatoes right now.
Instant ass mashed potatoes.
Do you ever anybody in your family ever get mad at you for filling up on the cheap shit at a buffet?
Yeah. Let's bet Dave will get mad at you.
Yeah. My dad used to don't eat too much bread.
I hate to ruin this for you. Yeah. It's all cheap shit at the buffet.
Yeah,
it's all
true.
Cheap shit, but there's carbs and there's, their system.
Eat light.
Did you see KFC stole my fucking idea?
With what?
I've invented a thing called biscuit a la mode.
They shitting behind a Pep Boys too.
They have dessert biscuits now.
The Colonel's really gone downhill.
Yeah, they have dessert. They have a Cinnabon gooey cinnamon bullshit
with
biscuit, not with ice cream, but the concept of a dessert biscuit.
Well,
mine is
blueberry biscuit from what's
from
it called?
Bojangles.
That's the place that's where you ripped your idea from.
No, mine was with ice cream. But I'm just saying, KFC, fuck.
But KFC's biscuit.
Fast food place when they're trying to make the most with nothing. Like when a Subway, everything Subway turns out like, well, we all got little ovens now.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of bullshit. Like, it's a flatbread. Fuck you.
Carl's Jr.
You're toasting.
Subway
has a truffle
me.
Sauce hamburger now.
What?
It's a burger with white truffle sauce.
Carl's
Jr. know what a truffle is.
You know what?
I
like Carl's Jr. just for the willingness.
Yeah.
Just like
God, Carl Sr. must have been a real pistol.
The weirdest part is it's Carl's, a past Carl owns the Jr.
Like
if you look at it grammatically,
like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Like Jack Daniels, people assume.
Yeah, it's hit the guy's name was Jack Daniel.
Yeah,
and that was
and it's his whiskey.
So it's possessive.
But
Carl's Jr.
Is that what they're saying? This is my son.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Carl apostrophe S.
So it's like Wendy's, but without a name. Instead of
but
like
Wendy's.
Dave Thomas's niece.
I'm Wendy. This is mine. It's Wendy's.
Come to Dave's niece. That's really
the
Wendy equivalent of Carl's Jr.
Well, that's Chris Steakhouse is that. There used to be a Chris's Steakhouse, and then some lady named Ruth bought it out, and it's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
I've never really thought about Ruth's Chris,
but
it's always bothered me.
It was never Chris's Steakhouse in the beginning.
There it is.
Good
God. So there was a Chris's. Ruth bought it out. Felt that I don't want to lose the Chris followers.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Start with not having the damn steak on a plate that's so hot it's still cooking to where when you slice it open,
degrees.
It bleeds to death.
You know that P.F. Chang
stands
for...
That blows my mind that they're that fucking bad.
Yeah.
P.F.
Don't let it meat cool.
P.F. Chang stands for Peter Francis Chang's.
No, it doesn't.
It's close.
What does it stand for? I have to know.
It is. I made that joke, and then I looked it up. I'm like, it's a straight-up white dude's name.
And did it just add Chang? Marry in?
No, P.F. Chang's... P.F. Chang's history. Well, this isn't the typical boogie monster, but they never are. So.
That's all right. Hey, I got a recipe.
The chain was founded in 1993 by Paul Fleming and Philip Chiang, son of Cecilia Chiang. They took the I out. Oh. It was open. The first restaurant was open in Scottsdale. Well, you're fucked from the get-go.
I've never eaten P.F. Chang's.
The first one was
good enough.
I remember it when I walked in the mall.
Paul Fleming Chiang.
I mean, I tell you what, if you do Chinese takeout and just use slightly better ingredients, you will fucking rule the market.
Yeah. Oh, guys, the P.F. Chang's website has 25 things you didn't know about P.F. Chang's. Did you know there's not? Do you know there's 25 things you didn't know about P.F. Chang's?
However many things there are about P.F. Chang's is how many I don't know.
What did you? What do you think you know about P.F. Chang's?
I don't know anything about it.
I have no idea.
Well, number six, is everyone aware what our name stands for? It's actually a combination of our two covers, P.F., Paul Fleming and Chang's. Philip.
Oh, why didn't you put Fleming in there then?
That's the P.F.
Oh, is it because it's Chinese food? P.F.'s got to hide.
Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley frequented our first Scottsdale location. Nobody would fucking know that.
Why would you attach their names?
Yeah. Andy, did I tell you I saw Charles Barkley at Fat Matt's Rib Shack?
Did you?
In Atlanta.
That makes sense.
And he was holding court.
Of course. I've met him before at TBS Studios.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, I love him. I love his butt where everything that could be a scandal or something, like he lost, people saw him lose like 50 grand in a night at a casino. So they tried to make some gossipy news thing out of it, like, Charles Barkley has a gambling problem. He goes, I ain't got no gambling problem. I'm rich. I lose $50,000. Ain't no big deal to me.
Yeah.
He was like, how you going to be a gambling problem when you're rich? That was just indignant. So he was funny. Just like, fuck you.
Good, good.
I love it. He's a breath of fresh air.
Number 15 is, even with all our locations over the world, our number one menu item remains the same across the board, Chang's lettuce wraps. Which, you know what that means. Cool. Guess which item we need to push because we have the biggest margin, profit margin.
Yeah.
Our tentacles spread everywhere. Hail P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's give out more than 52 million fortune cookies per year. Well, then that makes you feel special.
No one ever needs
to. No, I can't believe they bullshitted their way through 25 of these.
Who would go through this?
Number 23 is just that their dishes are meant to be enjoyed family style. That's not a thing.
What?
That's not even a thing. You know what you didn't know about P.F. Chang's? Just a fat ass that's been eating there by himself all the time? Oh, my God. I've been eating at a family restaurant for the last 20 years.
No wonder
I put on 90 pounds because I've been eating family style. I wish I would have read this list sooner.
These portions are huge.
If you love fact tennis, if you love P.F. Chang's and you eat there alone, then you're supposed to have a family.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed the lettuce wraps first.
Yeah, push the lettuce wraps.
This did not need to be 25.
Who did this? BuzzFeed? Was this?
No, it's. I bet BuzzFeed stole it. BuzzFeed's,
You eat anything good while you're in town?
You eat any P.F. Chang's? P.F. Chang's isn't bad.
We were supposed to go to Hal and Ray's the other day, but my girlfriend's mother died.
I had the tacos down there at what's the market like downtown that's the open market?
Number 12 is they just don't use garnishes. What the fuck?
That's not even a fact.
It's just like, guess
what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We don't fuck with garnishes.
That means everything on your plate or in your bowl is meant to be enjoyed. What fucking restaurant is not doing that? Oh, mine had poker chips and 3 guitar picks in it.
This is becoming instructional. This is how you eat P.F. Chang's right thing. Because it's family style. Nothing's a garnish.
I was talking about this not long ago. I've never had high-end Chinese food. I've never had like a $20 entree.
Well, then let's look at the prices. Let's look at the prices over at P.F. Chang's. Uh-huh. I'm thinking I'm taking you out to dinner.
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about the cuisine of what we call Chinese food, it's not food from China.
Yeah.
So it's a cuisine that is a takeout cheap cuisine. So
yeah.
One-off. Unless, like, I love a Mission Street Chinese, but that's like a chef that takes. He's a Szechuan guy, but he makes crazy things like Kung Pao pastrami and shit like that. Mm. So it becomes its like own thing, and I guess that's kind of expensive. But I don't think you'll find like a upscale.
Yeah, I've never.
But I would pay a little
more. The oolong
more
Chilean sea bass is $28.
They got good ideas. It's like Taco Bell.
Yeah,
it's all about execution.
Yeah, imagine some of those dishes with top end meat.
In Cincinnati, I went to a place. I probably told you about this, but they. It's like a takeout thing that's a literal hole in a wall. I mean, a box in a wall. And they have some Taco Bell shit, but just with good ingredients.
Huh.
So they had a Crunchwrap Supreme, but they call it a turtle or something. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. They're onto so many. It's just a bad meat and shit like that.
Dave, wok-fired filet mignon.
Wok-fired
filet
mignon?
This ain't no skillet. This is a wok.
$22.95.
Okay.
Sliced 8-ounce filet, black pepper, butter sauce, rustic potatoes, onion, lime, garlic, vinaigrette.
This is Chinese? Okay.
This is P.F. Chang's.
But that's more Peter than Chang.
Which one of these Peter? This is Peter's menu. Y'all like hot dogs? We roll around that Ching Chong bowl they use in the kitchen.
There's a place.
How did we pair up with this guy?
In Atlanta, Chico and Chang's.
Oh God,
Gilbert frequented that so much, and I'm like, Gilbert, you have to stop
because he Chang's lived down the street. Is that by the Claremont?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it still there? Because we stayed at the Claremont still there, in October, and like the Claremont Hotel is just nice place.
Yeah,
the lounge is still.
You can't change. I hope they got some kind of protective thing over the lounge.
I think they do.
It was still.
Oh, it's gnarly.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
I mean, but
for those that don't know, we're speaking of the Claremont Lounge in Atlanta.
Yeah, you got to go. But the Chico and Chang's is still operational, I believe.
Yeah.
And that I remember on whenever I was there first. I don't even know if I had an iPhone, whatever phone I had to take a picture of the logo. Which was a Asian man with the typical garb pulling a rickshaw with a Mexican guy in it. Was that it? Or was the Mexican guy pulling the rickshaw?
I'm going to say you're right.
There was a rickshaw, and then there was a representation of each.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And all, but to think about food that should go together well. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it.
You're in the same mood, I guess, you know.
But orange chicken and a burrito?
Ooh. Do they do that?
Like if you do like shredded cabbage and stuff in
Panda
a burrito?
Panda Express had that about a year ago.
I thought Chico and Chang's. I thought
in select markets.
I love that. I love that you know time frames.
Yeah.
There's a regional. Patton Oswalt's bit about regional foods.
Yeah. Well, Dave had a bit about how he follows. Remember that bit? You follow food the way nerds follow movies and stuff. It's like actually they're doing a run of the McRib.
Yeah.
In the summer.
All right. This does tie into Boogie Monster. Is conspiracy theories about why the McRib's limited. I heard it's because it's only released. Because
it goddamn sucks.
When pork. Well, all right. Hold on. But when pork prices are the lowest.
That makes sense.
That's when they put it out.
But I would think even when it seems like when pork prices are the lowest, that's when they gather up and start. I would imagine there's a lot of time in between. Getting pork meat in the process of making those patties.
No, there's not. Have you looked at them? That shit is whipped up in a frenzy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's like so chemically and weird. Like it seems like it could keep.
Remember when I made homemade McRibs?
Everyone remembers
Dave
that.
McRibs.
That was so good.
Yeah.
The idea, but with
Craig Holzer made barbecue for the Red Clay Comedy Festival, and he gave me on the last day. He gave me like 4 racks of ribs. I deboned them and turned them into McRib sandwiches.
Yeah, and
it was awesome.
We got the same type bread.
Yep.
And I remember it's because Clark Jones was there too.
Yeah, I got the pickles. I even sliced the onions the same way. Exactly. Little white sliced onions.
Little slivers.
Ooh boy.
I stand by McRib. I don't even know.
But I mean, if you stand by McRib, you would just cum your pants. Gentleman's relish on that McRib.
So I love the idea that like meat that falls off the bone is great, but if this was made with flesh that fell off the bones is disgusting. Like if that's how you collected the McRib meat. Like,
and also that's a misnomer in the barbecue world. If it's falling off the bone, you've overcooked it. So
yeah,
they use that in marketing. Oh, it's falling off the bone. Yeah, you didn't fucking cook it right.
Really?
I don't want to get into that. It's neither here nor there. But
none of anything that we ever do is here or there.
That's true.
I'm reading the P.F. Chang's website right now.
Can I give a
recipe
real quick?
2 hours of absolute horse shit.
Let me give a recipe real quick. You know what I had the other day?
What?
It's the dish itself isn't that spectacular, but when I make it.
I'll counter it. I'll find an appetizer.
Homemade steak tacos.
Homemade steak tacos. Let me get an appetizer from P.F. Chang's.
Katie bought me a prime ribeye. Not choice, but
this is after the dinosaur meat I saw you cooking on Instagram.
Yeah, that shit will tip over Fred Flintstone's car.
Yeah, she got me a fucking tomahawk steak.
Yeah.
But then the next day, she came home with like a pound and a half prime ribeye, and we've been eating a lot of steak for some reason. She just buys me steak. That's, you know, she's a good gal. But anyway, so I was kind of burnt out on just eating regular steak. So I cooked it the way I always cook it. But I put a bunch of Mexican seasoning on it, that Tijan Clasico.
Like the kind that comes in a packet?
No, this is like a little bottle, and it's like red. I don't know. It's like chili and lime seasoning. It's Tijan. T-I-J-A-N. Uh-huh. Anyway, so I seasoned it with that. I cooked it. I seared it in the oven. I seared it on top in the cast iron skillet. Then I finished it off in the oven. And then I sliced it super thin, just super thin. Just made some homemade guac. Got some good tortillas.
Speaking of cast iron skillets.
Man, but like,
maybe you'd like to start with some Sichuan
style
of Paragus.
A taco with really good steak. Like, talking about high end. Like,
I said a Paragus. I couldn't even get the joke out. Sorry to interrupt.
Is it piquant?
Maybe.
Still don't know how to pronounce that. How do you pronounce piquant? Piquant? Piquant?
Piquant? I don't know.
Piquant? I don't know.
That sounds more.
Trying to deal with that last week.
You're,
anyway,
you're an eloquent man.
Make
Andy.
You some homemade steak tacos with a really good steak and get you some of those good corn tortillas. Now they make like these.
Did you make a salsa or something?
Yeah, I made a homemade salsa.
I think you can put roasted
off some poblanos and some garlic and mashed that shit up and some tomatoes.
That all sounds great, but I got to know. What's P.F. Chang's bring to the table that could compete with that?
That's what I'm saying. What about some wok-charred Brussels sprouts to start with? Brussels sprouts?
Wok-charred is just redundant.
Pineapple?
Wok-charred sounds like a slur. Look at this wok-charred.
Fucking wok-chars over here taking up the neighborhood.
I was the one trying to move skirret into the whole conversation.
Oh, boy.
Pineapple Fresno peppers.
That's just beans in a bowl.
All these are just beans. All they're they do have long life noodles.
Why does P.F. Chang have beans?
Like long beans. Like
Like snap peas? Yeah.
Why does P.F. Chang's have beans?
I always know them as Chinese long beans from like Chinese markets and stuff.
They have a good wine list, apparently, according to their 25.
Wow. Do they have a sommelier there to pair your wine with? Oh, you got the...
you know what? Let me go back to the 25.
Oh, orange chicken, that pairs well with the Merlot.
Green onions from the Miranaka Farms.
Come on. That's like, there's a P.F. Chang's in every mall, and they're talking about locally sourcing green onions.
What's Mongolian beef? It's like when you order Mongolian beef, it just, there's like a 38% chance that Genghis Khan fucked it.
My God. I think there's Genghis jizz in every Mongolian beef, if I remember.
That's why all the Mongolian beef looks alike.
Oh, boy.
Oh, good thing is nobody's listened to this far.
Yes.
All right.
Should we land the shit show? We're gonna cut this into two episodes.
Nah,
we should
give it to them and say suck it.
No, we need
this
episodes.
Is for the rest of the month.
Andy, what you got to plug? You got anything coming up?
Well, I'm just really trying to get people to watch my special.
Oh, right. Your special's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's on Prime now, so you cheap motherfuckers can see it. that's what I call my fans now.
Uh-huh.
Gone from fandies to motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, insult them. They love it.
It's called Shameful Information, and it's about an hour long.
Right on.
And it's just me talking.
It's just me talking.
Jokes.
First joke on there?
Is what?
The who's on first joke?
It is.
That's on the special?
That is on the special.
That's such a good bit.
It's the best way it's gone. I had to tape it in one taping, and it's the exact way I could hope that bit to go. And I'm like, well,
that's one of the best pieces of comedy.
Oh, thank you, man.
Like, I reference it.
That's awesome.
I remember the origin of that. I think I remember you telling me that story.
Yes.
And I'm not taking credit for it, but I feel like I was like, that needs to be a bit.
Well, I remember you telling me I need a bit, and that was when I knew at that time, too. I said, I know it does, but it's something that I feel like it will be a bit when I know I can do that bit.
Uh-huh.
But it was like a good 2 years of mulling over, like, how can I do this bit?
Yeah.
There's little ways to get the information in there without being so fucking, yeah.
That's a great fucking bit, man.
Thanks.
Is McDonald's on the special?
McDonald's is on there.
That's a good bit too.
It's about the bigger hits from my album, which is like McDonald's, Who's on First, and the jail story and stuff. It's longer stuff, but then all the rest is just material.
Jail story.
That McDonald's bit hit home like
in there.
For people who don't know, Andy and I were in a group called The Beards of Comedy. us and Joe Zimmerman and TJ Young, and for what, about 5 years we toured together?
2008 to 2013.
We weren't quite ready. None of us were ready to headline, so we're like, let's all do feature sets and package it. But anyway, back then we were both so fucking poor. Like, we'd go on tour. We'd leave Atlanta with $17 in our pocket.
Back.
Yeah. Literally, like, I don't know if we're going to make it back.
Yeah, really.
But, like, just every day, just like, all right, I got $3. Let's go to the McDonald's value menu and see what we can do. But, like, that McDonald's story
about, time.
Like, when it's you get the sandwich. Premium. You get the premium burger. It comes in a box.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember how good poor treats taste, though?
Yeah.
Mine was the Albertsons fried chicken.
Yeah. Well, $5 for 8 pieces.
Yeah, that was my special treat night.
I lived off stolen Publix chicken for like 2 years.
I told that story a few weeks ago, by the way.
He did tell me that story. Flashing the receipt.
About how you take the receipt, put it in your mouth, and walk out.
Yeah, wear the best shirt I had. And...
Oh, there's an outfit component.
Well, if I could, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to look like you're
also,
stealing stuff.
Also, I would steal a sub and give it to a homeless guy because I felt like I'm buying some karma back. Like
I agree.
Like I'm stealing karma from Publix. Go fuck yourself, Publix.
Yeah.
You were like diarrhea Robin Hood.
I shit from the poor.
I got to write that
shit
down.
Shit on the rich.
Hey, everybody. It's your problem now, too.
I guess it's steal from the rich, shit with the poor.
Yeah. What's our time code on that? Diarrhea Robin Hood.
208.
Great name for I'm recording an album in September. I think Diarrhea Robin Hood might win.
I'm milling it about. I got a couple options.
Well, Manette's taken, I guess.
Well, yeah, Manette. That's old Carl Hess. Old sly Carl Hess. I got to buy a telescope.
Kyle, dude, what you got to plug
get
in?
One. I can't recommend enough.
Oh, yeah. Kyle's on summer vacation.
I'm done. I retired.
Cool, man, when are you going back to school?
Maybe never, dude.
This week I start
business
my
plans
tour.
Work out.
Let's see. Friday this week you can see me in Pensacola, Florida at the Back Porch Bar and Grill. Saturday I'll be in Tallahassee at Birds.
When's this coming? You don't know when this is coming out. It's 2 hours long.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. We'll figure that out. Yeah, I got a bunch of dates at dumbdavestone.com.
Dumbdavestone.com.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So, but yeah, this in May I'll be all over. Pensacola, Tallahassee, Orlando, Chapel Hill, Columbia, Greenville, Charlotte, Chattanooga, Nashville, Knoxville, Bristol, Atlanta. So come see me.
Bristol?
Bristol, Virginia, and / Bristol, Tennessee. It's a city that sits in both states.
Yeah, I think I did. Was that where the Al Capone gig was?
No, you're thinking of Johnson City, Tennessee.
Because that was like on the border, too. Right?
Yeah, and that was a fucking shit gig.
I got
paid. This is very close. Yeah.
I got paid by a guy who was very angry. Did, honored the guarantee, which wasn't a lot, but I know he didn't make that, and he was very large, angry man who clearly bought what was Al Capone's place because it was Al Capone's place.
Well, like one of his bootlegging spots or something?
Yeah, it was where he hid liquor along the way in Tennessee, and I went up to his office where there were two huge angry pit bulls, and he just counted cash, and there's just like a fan going. I was just like, oh, man, just please let me get this and leave. Yeah, so you're not doing that one.
Okay. No, not doing that one. Hopefully a better gig than that one. But, but yeah, man. Anyway, what else we got to plug? We got a Boogie Monster merch, anxiousandangry.com. Search Boogie Monster and get some shit there. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good swag. But
quality swag.
Yeah, man. Andy, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Congrats on the TV spot. Congrats on all the success.
Thanks. Hey, guys, you can go watch it on YouTube.
That's right.
Leave a nice comment.
Yeah.
Say a nice thing.
Yeah. Tell the trolls to fuck off.
And closest P.F. Chang's to here is in Sherman Oaks, so I won't be going there anytime soon.
And now with all them guns around.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.